Yes, yeehaw. It is Thursday. It is night. It's UK Cowboys time. We've got the Soul Flyer tonight. We've got the Mr. Lorne Callahan with us. How are we doing, Mr. Sir?
Yeah, we're not doing too bad. Not doing too bad, so.
Yeah. It's all going on tonight. So it is another episode of the Draft Show. So we are tonight, we're going to look at some first round draft choices. Talk about the first round. Talk about philosophy, how that will affect things in terms of draft sequencing and all the rest of it. So we'll go through some things. But first of all, and answer me this at home as well, if you're watching live or not, it's entirely up to you. Just put it in the comments. What are the key positions you feel, Lorne, for the first round? Or is there no concern about a position and go BPA?
I certainly heard you talking the other day about going best player available. Mm-hmm. I think you modify it a little bit and go best player available at need. So there's no point. If a wide receiver drops into our lap, I don't think there's a point in taking a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do need to, you know, I think in previous weeks, we've talked about how the main three that you're probably looking at the moment are both sides of the offensive, both sides of the trenches. So you're looking for another run stuffer, you're looking for offensive linemen, potentially left tackle, center. I think you're looking for linebackers as well. Obviously, this is something, the new coaching staff that's come in, Zimmer's hired as well. First time in a long time we've had a running game coordinator, a defensive running game coordinator. You normally hear them saying, oh yeah, so-and-so has been brought in as the passing game coordinator for the defense. Yeah. You're not hearing that. It's a run game. So that's showing that the focus is going towards the run. You're not going to do that with light linebackers like last year. You need to beef up the defensive line. You need to beef up your offensive line as well. Potentially, I've heard possibilities of re-signing Tyron Smith because Tyron Smith's saying he's not retiring this year.
Yeah.
If it's not with Dallas, he will go off and play somewhere else. I'd be open, you know, if you could guarantee me you're going to get the same production out of him last season, mm-hmm. I would sign him again. And that takes away one side of the thing. But yeah, we really need to start retooling this offensive line. We need to boost up our defensive line and the linebackers as well. So linebackers, I think I don't see a lot in the way of first round talent. Probably, you know, even those that are first round talent probably gone by 24. So it's quite a deep draft at the top end for offensive tackle. There's a center that we all like in Jackson Powers Johnson. I think you're looking at offensive line first of all, to be honest, but just need to see what drops in our lap.
I mean, because one of the things Daniel Jeremiah's, which stirred the pot a little bit, he did a mock draft and had Tyler Guyton go in. And I'm totally fine with the idea of having Guyton in. I think there's a lot of work to be done there. I've got a scouting report on him coming out, which came out around about the same time DJ's mock came out. So the timing's good. I think there's work to be done. And a lot of people are saying he's right tackle only. And in terms of skill set, I disagree with that. And it's because everybody is looking at the tape, right? And this is my problem. Is everyone's looking at the tape on Tyler Guyton and going, he's a right tackle purely only. I agree. But again, I disagree with what they're saying for the reasons. Is that they're saying Tyler Guyton's a right tackle because he plays primarily on the right for Oklahoma. Yep. Well, what they don't realize is that he's playing right tackle on a team that has a left-handed quarterback, which effectively makes him, you know, in normal terms, if you want to talk, rather than get rid of the moniker right and left tackle, he's your blindside blocker. Okay,
yep. So
that's why I disagree slightly. He has played left tackle as well in college. But I think DJ's reasoning for the pick, I think, is what stirred up so much of the problem, because he said that he wants Tyler Smith to play left tackle and Tyler Guyton to play right tackle for the reasons I just mentioned. But I feel he's a right tackle. Tyler Guyton is a right tackle because he needs time to develop. Because you need that time to develop, you, by all means, if you feel like you can push him to the left at some point, then do that. I know there's the whole thing of, ooh, do you want to mess with all of that? I think what you're trying to do is Guyton has a foundation, a very solid foundation from which he can play from already. The issue is it's just lacking. It's lacking a little bit in refinement in certain areas, like hand placement. Footwork can be a little bit sloppy at times. Run blocking is fine, but there's little tweaks that need to be made there. And you just look at all this and I think, do you want a guy who's inconsistent? Because what it is it needs refinement because he's lacking consistency. And I just think, do you want a guy blinding Dak's blind side who's inconsistent? So put him on the right, let him develop, and then move him over if you feel like. But the issue is that wasn't mentioned. And DJ just said, you take Guyton, you put him on the right, and then you have Tyler Smith on the left. So in everybody's mind, you're like, well, you haven't fixed anything, because now you've got Tyler Biadasz walking out the door. Tyler Smith has moved from guard to tackle, so now you still need two inside offensive linemen, and it caused a bit of a stir. But to get to the question is, would you be happy with Guyton with the pick, forget about Jeremiah's and people's conversations about right tackle? If that was the pick, would you be happy?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think to be honest, I think this coaching staff have decided that Tyler Smith is now a guard. You know, first season he was a tackle. Second season he was second team All Pro guard, Pro Bowl, everything like that.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of that is probably from having the Tyron Smith on the outside of you. But you know, we're talking about moving on from Biadasz, because Biadasz can't handle the big boys up front. Mm-hmm. You know, he can handle the lighter guys, but he can't handle the big guys up front. That then means that, you know, Tyler Smith has done a job at guard to assist with that, to get what we managed to get last season on the offensive line. So I think you're not moving Tyler Smith at all. Your question mark there then is, what do you do with, if you're talking about drafting Guyton and it's a first round pick, everybody again, if you're going to draft him in the first round, you're going to want, or fans are going to want to play him almost immediately. And then they're going to be up in arms, you know, this whole thing about Mazi Smith. Why did Mazi Smith not play all 16 games or 17 games? Why wasn't he on the field 80 snaps a game? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're going to get the same. You're going to get the same thing if you're drafting Tyler Guyton, and you're not putting him in at left tackle or
straight away,
what have you. You've signed Terrence Steele up for another 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. You can probably get out of it within another couple of years or whatever. So you can groom him that side of the thing as well.
Yeah.
But you know, realistically, with a first round pick, you want to be addressing something on your line. And if that's not center, then you know, you want to be drafting a tackle that's going to be able to start straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I think as well, like you when it comes to the offensive line for the Cowboys, and there's also the talk with Jerry Jones saying, I want to be all in and all the rest of it. I think a guy like Guyton, I think, is fine. But if you're going to go down that road, you need to get in there and get really, you need to get in and start coaching him quickly, heavily. Yep. Because you, like you say, you need to have on this offensive line, anyone you draft, they need to be basically hitting the ground running. If Tyron Smith is moving on, then this becomes even bigger again. The issue becomes huge again because you need to get in there, you need to get rolling, you need to get rocking quickly. And I also agree with you on Tyler Smith. I said this in the season, and I've spoke to Carl Yeomans as well on this one. Well, I think he was with us. And I said, look, I just don't think that... So basically, they had options last year where they had inside offensive linemen they could have put in when Tyron Smith got injured, and they could have kicked Tyler Smith out. So we know how good he is at playing tackle. On the left, Tyler Smith owns that line. But they completely refused to. And you ask the question, why? And they say, well, they just didn't want to mess with his development and all the rest of it. And I'm thinking to myself, but then that's counterintuitive to the idea of next season he's going to be our left tackle. Because if you're worried about messing with his development and you want to just keep him at guard and you didn't want to kick him out last season, then why are you kicking him out now next season? Why are you kicking him to left tackle when he could have had more experience last year playing at tackle? You've got him playing at a position where you feel he plays the best, and you refuse to. You kept him at guard. So that, to me, and you know, like there was all these different ways they were moving, you know, Bass and Doga and all the rest of it at tackle to try and make it work. And you're just sitting there the whole time going, well, just kick Tyler Smith out. All these guys can play on the inside and do a good enough job, not kill you. And he refused. And then you get I just don't think they wanted to mess with his development. You know, like, but it's development at left tackle that you want, because everybody's saying this season he's going to be left tackle. So to me, none of it is adding up. So I agree with you. I think they want to make him the guard. Now, me personally, a guy I do like that I think, if he's available at tackle, is Alabama's J.C. Latham. Huge. I mean, this guy is a monster of a man. Very immovable is the best way. And Nugo, this is the bit that always makes me laugh, is that you put on the tape of Alabama, and if you said to somebody, J.C. Latham is one of the biggest offensive linemen on the field, I mean, Guyton is too. Guyton is like this in a way as well. And you just said, I want you to point out the biggest offensive lineman on that team. And he stands out quite obviously. Which guy is that? And you don't have to be into football. You just look at the left tackle guy and you go, that guy there? And you go, he is. He stands out like a sore thumb. There is obviously issues with Latham in terms of mobility. Like Guyton has it more in his kick slide. His kick slide is unusually shallow. I think it's because Guyton is like nearly 6'8". So I think his kick slide is so shallow because there's a lot to move. So to create a high arc for defensive ends to run around, he has to take a shallower route, because I think otherwise they come in inside him then quickly. So they'll change direction on him. And because he's so big, because he's so tall, that foot mobility isn't quick enough to react and bring yourself back. He's athletic, but that's the problem. With Latham, I think that's not so much the issue. It's just more of that there is a lot of mass there to get around. And it's not his kick slide that is the problem. I find it's just because you see him getting into the second level, coming across the line to, you know, help on whatever, you know, like to help on in the running game. He will make those moves. I think with Latham, there's less inconsistencies, which is what I like. And I think if you're going to have a guy at left tackle, you want a guy that you kind of just all these guys need coaching regardless, right? But I just think that Latham has less inconsistencies for you to have to work with in the pass blocking. That's what I feel. Pass blocking at left tackle is the most important, because you don't want your quarterback taking hits from the back, basically. But give me your thoughts on Latham. Go on, go for it, mate.
Well, Latham, to me, I quite like the look of him. I think he's quite athletic.
Yeah.
For me, he, you know, is once he gets his hands on you, it's like Tyron Smith. You're not going anywhere. He's a brick wall for pass rush. Or pass protection. He's quite good at the running game. Where his weakness is he happens to sort of overextend a lot. You know, getting up out of the stands.
Certainly on reach blocks.
Yeah, he gets in a bad position. And, you know, that's when he can be manhandled a little bit. The sort of comp that I've got on him, he's very similar to Darnell Wright from last year, who went to the Bears at the number 10 spot.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Dane Brugler's got him at number 13 on his big board at the moment.
He's a little lower on mine, but that's fine.
They're both guys are actually, you know, Latham's a junior, Guyton's a redshirt junior. So from that point of view, Guyton's maybe not had the same amount, or he's not been available to get the coaching. So he's probably a little bit more raw.
You beat me on that one, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll let you kick back in on this one, because it's on my scouting report. And I put that Guyton's biggest issue is that he spent 2 years playing TCU, but played so redshirted his first year. I think he took like 4 snaps in one game and they redshirted him. His next year, he played more primarily as like a H-back. And then he transferred through the transfer portal, went over to Oklahoma. His first season, he started the season because Wanye Morris was suspended for the first like 3 or 4 games. So he plays those games, and then he's just more back into a backup role. And the Oklahoma offensive line often gets injured. They always have injuries, so it's always rolling through. So then what happens with Guyton then is last season he plays in 9 games as a starter at right tackle. That's his only real main bulk of experience and coaching as a starter that he's ever had. So when we're talking of inconsistencies, as I mentioned earlier, Guyton does have inconsistencies.
Yeah.
And literally the majority of them is just down to experience. Because he's not had as much playing time and coaching as the other guys. But the baseline that you're working off, the ceiling for Guyton is astronomically high. I would say that the ceiling for him is bigger than Latham and Mims and a couple of the other guys who are hovering around in there, that offensive tackle position. That's those late first rounders, early second round type talent guys. I think Guyton is the highest because he is a huge guy. He's really hard for pass rushers to get around. When he gets his anchor and he sits down on his weight properly, guys are movable. I mean, he's over 300 pounds and he's 6'7". He's a huge guy. He's towering. The issue just seems to be with technique, and that you'll go and watch a game and you'll just see solid blocking, great blocking, fantastic. He's doing his thing, And then all of a sudden, it's gone. And you're just like, wait, where's all of this? That you've just been doing all of this hard work. And you know, like with offensive line, you know yourself, you played offensive line.
Yep.
With offensive line, it's not what you do good, it's what you do wrong. Because you can literally play an entire game. You can play 60 snaps in that game. And the 61st snap, and you allow a sack at the end of that game, and it ends the game. You are the worst enemy. It's what you did wrong on that one snap.
Go back a couple of weeks to the Super Bowl. The 49ers offensive lineman, and in that drive in overtime, his backup offensive lineman comes in. He's obviously he's been training all week with the team and all that sort of stuff. Comes in, he goes the wrong way on one play. Chris Jones gets through and disrupts the timing. Brandon Ayuk was wide open. Kittle was wide open. Mm-hmm. They had to settle for a field goal. Kansas City takes the ball, moves down the field, scores a touchdown. That's, and you know, again, the legacy for the 49ers at the moment is they can't win the big one.
Yeah.
You know, or Kyle Shanahan particularly can't win the big one. You know, so that's the whole point is that, you know, it's a very unforgiving position. Is it anything on the offensive line? You make a mistake, your quarterback goes down injured. You know, yeah. I mean, again, go back to last year. Brock Purdy getting hammered by the Philadelphia Eagles pass rush.
Yeah,
ends up ripping his arm. You know, the tendons in his arm. That's him down. And then you're talking. And two plays later, what's his name? Johnson goes down as well. And you're starting Christian McCaffrey as running back. So,
yeah, wild. I just got 1 year. It is quite true from Liz. A fellow long time Yuki saying, isn't the issue with Mazi and experience? In some respects, yeah. I mean, I would say with Mazi, the inexperience comes in the form of his that he was able, while playing in Michigan and in the Big Ten, he was just able to out-physic because he was just such a physical specimen. Like, this guy was just brutalizing people. So what you've seen with Mazi is very much in respects how I can foresee things with Guyton, is that because you were able to physically dominate your opposition while you played, you never had to learn technique. And that's kind of like a similar thing with Guyton, but with Guyton, it's mixed in with a lack of playing time as well. But it's a good point with the Mazi one. I like that.
Yeah.
Would you be willing, Mr. Lorne, yep, if it came up with the way things are looking, what if wide receiver was available to you at pick 24? I just dropped my pen. I need that pen.
I mean, to be honest,
yeah, I got it.
I don't honestly know. It depends what we're talking about doing with Gallup. I think if Gallup's gone,
yeah, I think
obviously,
gone.
Yeah, Jalen Tolbert steps up. So Jalen Tolbert's your number three guy. You've got Jalen Brooks. You've got Moreno Cropper as well to compete in camp.
And you still
well.
Got
you've,
as well.
What's that? Sorry,
you still got Cooks. We're still.
No. I'm talking about
beyond one and two. Okay. Yeah.
Beyond one and two, it's who then steps up. You know, again, if you're going for a first round pick, you're okay. Cooks is only here for another season, barring any extension or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're hoping that, you know, again, Jalen Tolbert takes another step up, becomes, you know, becomes effectively like Cedric Wilson did and hopefully plays himself into a second contract with us you know, if not, he goes off somewhere else. It would have to be somebody really special that's dropped to 24 for, you know, a sort of CD Lamb situation where somebody you weren't expecting to get, you know, somebody who was a top 10 talent suddenly drops to 24.
So not Brian Thomas from LSU?
To be honest, for me, I want to focus on the position. We don't have a lot of draft picks in this draft. So if it comes down to a wide receiver, to be honest, I would maybe look at trading down and trying to pick up some extra picks.
I think trading down is a good option for the first round for Dallas to try and corral picks into the second. I quite like it because it helps you shuffle in the third round is what I'm thinking. Not necessarily because you want to trade back and trade back again. I just think that you can corral picks in the second round for a number of third round picks. And that makes up then not having a fourth, which we don't have. Because people keep talking about drafting a quarterback. And it was a comment I made within a group on Twitter during a chat. I said, but don't forget, the Cowboys have effectively drafted a quarterback in this year's draft. They drafted him in the fourth round, and it just so happens that he was on the roster last season. They've done that. So I would forget about the idea. Before we started the show, I was looking at quarterbacks. I was watching tape and filling in the details on. I mean, that's more for my board, but I'm literally paying zero attention in terms of quarterbacks for the Dallas Cowboys because they've done it. That's what their fourth round pick was. But I actually think that because for me, one of the issues with the Cowboys offense, which we seen a few times last year, was in the passing game, it was Jake Ferguson, CeeDee Lamb, a lot of CeeDee Lamb. And then it was kind of like, let's try and squeeze things into Brandon Cooks a little bit. And towards the end of the season, momentum with Cooks was picking up and it was looking a bit better. But what we saw, and I've mentioned this many, many times, I am not saying that the playoff game was Brandon Cooks' fault by far. I am not saying it's fault. There was many, many issues in that wildcard game. But when CeeDee Lamb fell off a ledge in that game and couldn't bring himself back around, and we needed him to step up and he didn't. What happened then is you're looking at your wide receiver two. You're going, okay, my wide receiver one right now is having an absolute nightmare. Let's go to my wide receiver two, Brandon Cooks. And Brandon Cooks did the same thing. He couldn't step up to the plate either. And I'm not saying very clearly, the playoff loss is not on Brandon Cooks at all. All I'm saying is that when our main target, CeeDee Lamb, couldn't put it together, we went to Brandon Cooks, who couldn't put it together. So then you just had this snowball effect then on the offense that couldn't pull things together. So what I'm saying is that we clearly have seen this offense having an issue when CeeDee Lamb has a bad day. So we've got Jake Ferguson, and I don't think much changes there. But what is the offensive plan beyond CeeDee Lamb in terms of the receiving game? So you go, well, it's Brandon Cooks. And we go, well, we know what we've got with Brandon Cooks. And then we know what we've got with Talbot and the other guys. You're hoping there's going to be some further development with them. But what I'm saying is that there is no real offensive option that's wildly threatening beyond CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson. Like, Cooks is totally fine in what he does in his role. But I'm saying that you could, if he landed and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, and I'll do a scout report on him probably next week. I'm just saying that you put him into the mix. All of a sudden, do you remember when there was the triple threat, and people were like saying, oh, the Cowboys could have 3 1,000-yard receivers when they had Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. Yeah. Well, you could be going back down that road again if you drafted a wide receiver in the first round. I know it's not as a bigger priority as the offensive line and all the rest of it, but what I'm saying is that you could help the offense a lot, including the offensive line, by having a genuine first-round wide receiver on the opposite side.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I haven't done a lot of scouting on Thomas Jr. anyway, but that's somebody I need to get back around to as well. I think, you know, obviously there was some sort of, you know, there was a sweet spot in the middle of the season where Cooks came on. Towards the end of the season, there was a little bit of disconnect between him and Dak, because if you think about that Buffalo game, the first play against or first play from scrimmage. If Dak had connected on that, that game would have ended up completely different.
Very
Same with
true.
the Miami game as well. I think Dak overthrew him on something. And then,
Mm-hmm.
you know, there was an overthrow in the Green Bay game as well that, again, if they'd connected, it would have put us back on track. It would have, I think, in the Green Bay game as well, he was potentially on his way into the end
I know
zone.
what the one you're on
It
about.
would have been a tight ball game, and you know, again, the pressure wouldn't have been on Dak to make plays, so he wouldn't have
And
thrown,
CD.
the picks. Now, again, it's not them. I think the whole team is at fault. You know, again, it's not Dak. It's not Dak. It's not CD Lamb. CD Lamb has come out and said, "Yeah, okay, he wasn't ready for that game mentally, or there was some sort of disconnect with him, and he needs to grow up from that point of view." So there was, you know, we all knew that he wasn't on the right wavelength, but he's actually come out and said, "Yeah, something was wrong." He you know, whether he got out of bed the wrong side of the bed that morning or something like that, something wasn't right. And you just have to sort of hope, put that down to experience again and build on that. I think this year, you know, second year of Mike McCarthy's system, you're not really tearing anything down. There hasn't been any change in coaching staff other than the signing of the offensive assistant, basically to replace a guy who's now gone off to coach elsewhere as well. So he's I think he's gone off to be quarterbacks coach for Seattle or something like
Yes,
that.
I believe so. Possibly, yeah.
No, Carolina Panthers actually. So Will Harriger has gone off from the Cowboys coaching staff. He was the offensive assistant, probably in terms of the sort of game planning and that, you know, all that sort of stuff, and tendencies for the defense, that sort of thing. So, but I, you know, again, does drafting a wide receiver open up rushing lanes for whoever's your running back? And you're maybe, you know, if we're not bringing Pollard back, you're talking about, you know, potentially going with rookies next year and Rico Dowdle or Malik Davis or
Nico
whoever.
Daddles out the door as well, mind.
Well, I know, but you could probably get him cheaper than you're probably going to get Tony Pollard. So,
True.
you know, again, if it's an inexperienced backfield, then, you know, you really need that offensive line to step up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the offensive line, I think, is clear. That needs restocking, especially as well when you think you've got, you know, the likes of Zach Martin. How much longer have we got until, you know, he's ready? He was close to retiring last season until
I
things
know.
change. So you think when a player like that is talking, you know, when his ums and ahs there, you think we're a couple of seasons away then. And, you know, I think Zach Martin is the type of guy as well that wants to leave on a high in a way. And, you know, I'm saying whether that's Super Bowl, obviously, but I think he would be the type of guy. He's a smart, intelligent man, and he's going to be the type of guy that goes, I want to leave before things go. But because, you know, all offensive linemen have it where all of a sudden they get to a certain age and it just hits, it just strikes, and they can't do it anymore. I think Martin will leave before that happens. He's that type of guy. And, you know, it looks great on his resume when it comes to, like, you know, Ring of Honor or even Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, people will say, oh, he's not a Hall of Fame. And you're like, okay, fine. Yeah, if you're just talking Super Bowl rings, but if you look at the numbers, if you look at the facts and the figures, like, he's far beyond what most Hall of Fame linemen, you know, statistically, he's above them in so many aspects. But offensive line, I think, is clear. We've got the comment here from Joe about, you know, whether you know, he's saying offensive line is clear. Yeah, I agree. Unless there's linebacker or defensive end. Now, my only issue is I don't like the idea anymore of drafting linebackers in the first round. especially the type of linebacker the Cowboys are after. The Cowboys aren't after like a pass rushing type of guy, or they're not even really after the new age or new wave of off-ball linebackers that are these undersized guys that can do a little bit of both, that can cover and clog. The Cowboys really are after a full-blown off-ball linebacker that can either do everything or primarily help in run stopping.
Yep.
I'm sorry, for myself, if that's the type of linebacker we're going for, I don't want to draft that in the first round.
I completely agree. And I have literally not looked at, you know, I've started doing my PFF mock draft simulators. I'm doing two or three a day.
Good.
If there's any linebackers there, I'm discrediting it for the first round.
For the first round.
You know, and again, my main areas of focus have been defensive line, offensive line. Linebacker, I think I started looking at sort of third round pick.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's also the sweet spot for running back as well, is the third round.
Yeah. And at the moment, and funnily enough, you know, you get the rankings on PFF and all the other draft guides at the moment, until they go, you know, they'll get suddenly thrown out the window. They'll get readjusted come next week when the combine scores are in and everything like that. And you start going through the pro days as well. And you know, that's when, you know, somebody that at the moment they're predicting is their 15th best pick suddenly drops to 45 and vice versa. Yeah. You know, so, but again, I'm not, linebacker's not been where I've been looking for in the first round pick. And, you know, if there's only linebackers there in the first five or six picks that are available to me, then I take whatever's going to trade down. And
you know, everyone's the guys here and over on X as well. A lot of people are talking about Mazi Smith and saying, like, you know, you can't call him us. I totally agree. 3 years is usually what I give offensive and defensive lines. That gives them time to bulk up, learn technique. But I actually think that people keep talking about linebacker. And yeah, okay. If we go talking linebacker, let's talk day three for a number of reasons. Firstly, is Cowboys are after numbers more than anything on linebacker. They're just lacking numbers. I think using these hybrid type guys, people disagree with it. I understand the reason why you would disagree with it, because it is frustrating to see these lighter type linebackers in the box, because you just think, here's trouble. But unfortunately, in today's NFL, most teams are playing from a nickel, in nickel formation. And because there is so much predication in the passing game in the modern day game, you've got to have linebackers who are quick and can cover. That's just the new age. That's the new wave of linebackers that are coming in, because that's how the game is moving and evolving. Obviously, the offshoot of that is that running backs can have a better they have a better time of running. So I think rather than focusing on trying to get run stuff in linebackers that are really quite kind of limited in what they can do in today's NFL, you stop the run by working on three techs, one techs. Yeah. You focus on the defensive line. You stop the run at the line. The linebackers are really there to try and soak up anything that ends up being leaked. But primarily you want your defensive line to do that work. And that's why I've been looking for first round and early, you know, if they decide to trade back at early second round defensive tackles. And there are plenty. There's loads in there that can do the work for Dallas. And if they decided, now I know what people are going to say here is they're going to go, well, would the Cowboys go back-to-back first-round picks on the defensive line? Would be pretty crazy to see, but I would say never, and think about how that helps. Would you, and is there anybody in the first round you would draft a defensive tackle?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think obviously you've got a new focus. You've got a new focus on this defense. You've got Jeff Sigonia, who is coming in, coached the Washington Commanders defensive line. Obviously, used to having first round draft picks to coach, has managed to get something out of them. He played 17 years in this league, having been a seventh round draft pick. You've got Greg Ellis, who probably can take Mazi Smith under his wing because, you know, Mazi Smith, there's been a lot of pressure put on him. Why is he not playing? Why is he, you know, as I say, why is he not playing? Why is he not playing 80 snaps a game? Why hasn't he been starting? You know, Greg Ellis was basically the pick that the Cowboys made instead of picking up Randy Moss. And for the entirety of Greg Ellis's career, he wasn't compared to Randy Moss. He wasn't compared to any defensive lineman. He was compared to Randy Moss. Greg Ellis understands what the pressure is like in Dallas, understands Mike Zimmer's defense for a start. Knows how Mike Zimmer works. So when Mike Zimmer goes and cusses somebody out in training camp, Greg Ellis can then take him off. He can be that sort of good cop to Zimmer's bad cop. you know, and just say, look, this is what he's trying to get you to do. You know, don't take it to heart. Do this, and you know, you'll get in his books and all that sort of thing. So, you know, there is going to be a difference in focus on what you're looking for in defensive line with this new coaching staff that's coming in. And yeah, there are certainly plenty of guys, both, as I say, both offensive line, defensive line, first and second round picks. There's plenty to choose from. If you're, you know, obviously this guy in Texas, Devondre Sweat.
Yeah, both Texas guys I like in the first round.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, again, looking at the drafts, mock drafts at the moment, Murphy's gone, you know, pick 10 or something like
that.
Yeah, so, you know, this defensive line has really built itself up, or the University of Texas defensive line, where it was much maligned since the days of Casey Hampton and Sean Rogers. It's now coming to the fore again. You know, so there are plenty of guys. There's obviously Clemson always used to be a defensive line school, Florida State as well. You know, there's plenty to choose from. So as I say, that's my point of view, is you're looking at best player available for need. And it's, you know, if it comes down to an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle, you know, that's up to the debates in the war room, much like last year with Mazi Smith and Bergeron, was it, that we were?
Yeah, Matthew Bergeron. Yeah.
You know, so from that point of view, I wouldn't be going out with those two picks myself, but I'm not one of the guys who's jumping up and down on the table for in that war room.
I mean, like, because the one that everybody seems to really like, and I do like this, but I think it's not a tricky sell. I would want to know, if this was the pick in the first round, really what's the plan for the entire offensive line over the next couple of years? And that's Jackson Powers Johnson. This is Paul's guy. He likes him. When I did a scouting report on it, I had a million messages and comments. I mean, it went bananas. Loads of people asking me about JPJ. Now, the thing for me is, if you're going to have him, then this is why I'm saying you need the plan. You need to know what are you using him as. If that's the choice of what you make, what does that mean for the other guys? Because if you're drafting Jackson Powers Johnson and you're making him center, Tyler Biadasz is gone. What's your plan for Tyler Smith? So now, if you're keeping him at guard, now what's your plan moving towards the future on left tackle? If you decide to move him to guard, okay, that means you're moving Tyler Smith out. So now what is your long-term future, or what's your plan for Santa? So this is what I mean, is that the Johnson is a totally perfectly fine pick. I like it. But he comes not with issues as so much as the player, issues in what you're doing with the line.
Yep.
Because there's going to be a lot of shuffling around, and you've got to figure out what your long-term plan is if you're drafting him in. Because he's only going to fix one small area of it, as opposed to the tackles, if you take them, then it's kind of obvious in the direction that you're going. You know, you can stick with that. That can be your choice for a couple of years. If you decide to upgrade next season, that's fine. But with Jackson Pounds Johnson, you draft him, you still need to come up with a very intricate and very sensible plan on what the next year, 2 years, what's going to be going on there, because there's a lot of movement that needs to happen to solidify that line and make it what it is. I mean, what's your take on JPJ, and what's your thoughts on if they draft him?
I like JPJ. I think he's, you know, he would be a viable first round pick if he gets to us. I'm seeing him going mid-teens. Seattle and the Rams are the two teams that seem to get pick him up most of the times in my mock drafts. If he's available for us there, great. If not, then yes, probably look at the tackle side of things. And if you can get him, say, the Georgia center, Van Pram, probably in the third round, you're probably looking out for him.
Answer to this question.
All right, okay.
So for people on the audio only on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we had a question from Joe saying, would you take a running back in the first round? And the answer is very simply no, definitely not. For a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, anybody who's taking a running back in the first round is going to the Bill Belichick school of the last couple of years, where you've taken like Cole Strange and I can't remember who he took last year, but again, it was a lot of people doing pen throws for that, sort of going, what the hell is he thinking? So, and that's maybe why certainly Bill Belichick's probably having a season to recuperate rather than getting a job this season as well. But center, if you can get the Georgia center as well, again, he's another young person who has I think he's a junior as well. He's anchored for the last couple of years. He's anchored that Georgia offensive line. Still fairly raw, but you know, for a third round pick, you know, I don't see him being much of a drop off from what you've got with Tyler Biadasz at the moment.
You're talking Cedric Van Pan.
Yeah.
So Jacobs blocking trophy award winner, which already tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you know, what awards you win in college doesn't necessarily translate.
No.
Obviously, Biadasz won. Biadasz won the, what was it? He won the Outland Trophy. Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Or whatever it was, best offensive lineman coming out of college that year as well. Yeah. But going back to Joe's question, I don't see any running backs within the, I think you're talking maybe tail end of the second round before you actually think about running back.
Yeah, me and Brian talk running backs on Tuesday. Yeah, this is something we discussed. Yeah. All right, here's one for you then. This player or this position, and let us know in the comments, guys, on this one, live or post-live. I don't know what you call it. post-live.
On demand.
Yeah, there we go. Is there a position or a player where if they took him, you would be quite upset or angry?
defensive backfield, certainly. I don't, you know.
Okay. I'm all right with corner. If they took like Kool-Aid or Cooper DeJean from Iowa, I can see the reasoning. I mean,
Well,
the obvious one is quarterback. We got that one. Quarterback would make him make
yeah, I don't.
however.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of thinking more secondary at the moment, or safety at the
Safety,
moment, but
safety. Yes, I
because
agree.
we do actually. I mean, if you're, we need to know what Zimmer's plan is for guys like Mukwamu,
Yes, agree.
Wanwei Thomas,
Nation right.
Mark Nation Wright, Marquise Bell, and all that. Mark Nation Wright, if Nation Wright couldn't get on the field for Dan Quinn, I think he's probably not going to get on the field for Zimmer. But safety wise, Mukwamu was showing up well in preseason. Certainly came on when there was injuries to Donovan Wilson at the start of the season, injuries to, I mean, Hooker was struck down at points. Kearse was struck down. So you were rotating guys like Wanwei Thomas and Mukwamu. Obviously, Marquise Bell came up and played linebacker. Are you going in and saying, right, we want you to continue with linebacker, but we want you to put 20 pounds on and get some upper body strength, or we want you to go back and focus solely on safety. I think there's enough talent in this team at the moment for safety, even though obviously Kearse is now potentially out the door. You're not.
I think he's
I don't
done.
see. I don't see us re-signing him. I think he'll probably end up going to the nation's capital and following Dan Quinn there.
I don't know.
But the this is still quite a where we've always said there's been a dearth of talent at safety. I think this is still quite a talented safety room that we've got going into this season. Un untested and untested in a lot of issues. But potentially with Zimmer's scheme is a two safety set. So you are two deep safety. So if you've got two ball hawk safeties, that which again we do, that's going to work well. If I think again there's flexibility with these guys that they can play the sort of center fielder safety role, or they can come up into the box. They've got that flexibility. So safety is the area where I'd be just like, really, are we spending that pick on that? Again, that's a position that if they drafted that, I'd be saying, you should have gone elsewhere, traded down or whatever. So.
I mean, they Liz talking about cursing, do you really see? I mean, like, he dropped off this last year. He was good in what he could do. Then you think of that, the Zimmer defense and the Zimmer linebacker, how they look. It just, he doesn't fit anything. Plus the drop off in what he was doing. They got options that they can use. I think they found their Kearse replacement by accident with Marquise Bell. I think Marquise Bell can play that Kearse role. And just as effectively, if not better. So I think all of those factors fall into a bell ringing that the curse is walking out. Plus, they need the money. They need the money elsewhere, really, when they've got options to play that hybrid tight end killer type role. The one I would be very disappointed with if they went for in the first round, unless it's one name. I'd be very disappointed if they went tight end.
Yeah, I'd agree on that. I think we've got resources in tight end. Okay, Peyton Hendershot was injured last season at points. You've got John Stevens, who's coming back from an ACL injury, but
And he was looking good.
probably would have made the team at the expense of Sean McKeon. McKeon wouldn't have even made the practice squad last year to get the elevations. Stevens would have probably been there if he can come back the same player he was last year. You know, we obviously talk, it is difficult coming back and learning to cut and trusting that knee again. But, you know, if he can come back even to the point that you feel he's a fourth tight end and you can put him on the practice squad or something like that, then, you know, the resources are there again. It's not an area that, particularly in the first round, you want to be picking somebody.
When you've seen how Jake Ferguson broke out, you know?
Yeah.
And I say, there's only one name, and he would no way would he fall that far, would be Brock Purdy. Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers, Purdy. Yeah.
Jeez. And, you know, I did a post showing the production difference between Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers in a 3-year span. And it's, you know, people were talking about Pitts saying, you know, he's a top 3 talent in this year's draft. You know, he's going to go in the top 5. And then you look at Bowers. And like Bowers just eclipses Kyle Pitts' production. It's wild. So I like, if it was that, then okay, get ready, because it's about to get quite messy. But if Bowers was the pick, I mean, the amount of, so, you know, we were just talking, you know, when I was talking about, say, like Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU being drafted, because that helps CeeDee Lamb, because now you've got a more viable threat on the other side. Purdy does the exact same. Jesus. Bowers, God alive, I get it.
It's
now.
Because his first name's Brock.
It just rolls off. Bowers does the same thing, because now he becomes a massive viable threat. But the only issue is that I think I've got Bowers as a top 3 talent. Like, the issue is with Bowers is he plays tight end, and it's the type of tight end that he plays, the style that he plays, lowers him down, because people devalue the tight end position and the role. And then they look at, like, they say, oh, Kyle Pitts. And then they say, well, look at what's he done? And you're like, well, Pitts is a slightly different, a whole couple of fish. It's different altogether there. I think he goes in the top 10, but yeah, I'd be disappointed if the Cowboys went tight end in the first round. Beyond that, the reason I say that is, you think, well, I wouldn't like them to go running back or quarterback, kicker or punter, but that kind of seems a little bit obvious. Do you know what I mean? It's not really a talking point to say that. But the reason I say it is, I mean, tight end, and I think what you said, safety, you made a good argument there for that. I don't think anything else is off the cards. You kind of like, you go through in your head all the different positions, and you're like, I go for any of these in the first round. All of these work. All of these make the team better. And that's why I was kind of thinking that, you know, and I was like, it's only really 2 positions that are off the table. And that's really, I think, how it's going to go. When you watch the Cowboys in the first round of the draft, and I know me and you have talked about this before, and I mentioned it on another show as well, is that when you look at how the Cowboys draft in the first round and the Will McClay system, it is always, so expect it. It's about to come. Yep. Franchise tag is next week. Then is the combine. And after that, free agency will begin. And watch the Cowboys fill up on offensive linemen, linebackers, without a doubt. That's coming. Because it's just a factor of numbers. You know, people will complain with the linebackers they bring in. They'd be like, oh, this is a nobody again. And it's like, but linebackers need just numbers. You need a lot of numbers but for a number of reasons. Mostly linebackers and tight ends play on special teams as well. So you need, it's a double-edged sword with them. So, you know, expect that. And then the Will McClay system is, set yourself up so come the draft, you can go BPA. And we've seen it time and again. And they say, well, I don't know. And you're like, well, it's that's literally how it's been the last few years. But here we go. Here's a specific question just for the Lornius Maximus. What do you think if the Cowboys went for Saquon Barkley, and is there a possibility? I've got my answer on this one, but this question is directed at you, sir. So take it away, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
To be honest, nothing's off the table. Again, it all depends on what this all-in means. But, you know, to be honest, Saquon Barkley has been limited the last couple of years with injuries. You know, and that's there's concerns about that. You know, obviously, he didn't produce well enough last season that, you know, the offense, the Giants offense could actually lead on him. And, you know, his performance was probably worse than, you know, when we'd lost Michael Irvin, we'd lost Troy Aikman, and it was only Emmett Smith that was still in this backfield here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had eight men in the box daring Emmett Smith to try and run on you. And Emmett Smith was still a viable option and took some of the pressure off, dare I say, Quincy Carter.
Hey, stop it now. You give me PTSD.
Would Saquon Barkley be better behind this offensive line? Again, you know, it is potential, but I'm thinking, you know, you could potentially bring Zeke back at a cheaper level as well, probably than what Saquon Barkley's looking for. So you could probably bring Zeke back cheaper than bringing back or bringing in Saquon Barkley. And yeah, I think you'd probably get a better performance as Zeke as well, to be honest. Again, nothing's off the table with this, especially with this new brain trust that's coming in as well. So.
There you are. There's your answer. My answer is his injury history. Just that's enough for me. I'm just like, nah, that's enough on that one. But hit me with it, Lorne.
Right, okay, so looking forward to 2024. If you're thinking about going to a game, make sure you book up with Cowboys Experience for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more. You tell them when you're coming in, they'll create a package for you, and they'll work with you so that you get the best out of it, and you leave saying, wow, this has been so great. You know, I want to come back next year or 2 years down the line, so.
Yes, and we will get a nice little ad made up as well, guys, for the travel package. So if you haven't seen it, go on our Instagram or Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it nowadays, whatever you kids are calling it nowadays. go and check it out. The travel package for 2025 Thanksgiving is up. Go check the Instagram out. Go check the pictures from when we went last Thanksgiving. It's all in there. Message, inbox, anything you want. We can give you the details. It's just something that we do in our own time as well, just to have, basically to try and get as many people to come out to a game with us. And, you know, more the merrier is the attitude we're going for. Like, we could just book it ourselves and just do our own thing, but we just think, well, why not bring everyone along with us for the ride? So that's why we do it. But yes, we will be back on Tuesday on the Project Prospect, where we're looking at defensive tackles. We were just talking about those. We'll pick six of them, talk about them, dive in deep on those guys. So make sure to join us. That's 9 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Central. And then we'll be back next week on another draft show. But as always, stay safe, guys. Have a great weekend. And because I had the first word of the show, Lorne always has the last word. You guys have been great. You're the MVPs of the show. Take it away, Mr. Lorne.
Yeah, have a great week, guys. Dallas forever, Philly for never.